This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to your Wednesday morning, or your hump day. If you're just waking up, maybe you're checking out election results. I was trying to encourage Brad Heller that I've got the news on here in the studio, but he was a bit grumpy this morning. Not that you could tell, because, you know, he puts on a great show for you when he's doing the update. I was just trying to be friendly. I've had the election coverage on all night because it equal parts fascinates and horrifies me, election coverage, depending on what network you're watching and how they call races. So I always enjoy it. I think it's an interesting case study in media as well as in the United States of America, at least in this one snapshot, this one night. And it blows me away because I can remember like it was yesterday, sitting here on election night 2016. And, you know, normally I don't talk politics at all, but this was an historic night. It was the first night that ever I was on the air for a presidential election being called. And so we did do some politics. Not to mention, sports cleared the deck for election night 2016. There was nothing else happening. I mean, even last night, it was a fairly light night in sports. And so, yeah, so it was kind of a new thing for me. But here we are 2 years later. I don't know how those 2 years flew by, but we're 2 years later, and here we are with another election night. And so I've had it up in the studio, not that I've talked about it a whole lot because you can follow it yourself, but I know that we've had a very in-depth discussion about whether or not you should post on social media that you voted. We've had a difference of opinion here on our little show pod. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So I did go back and answer a bunch of your questions that you posted on Facebook, and I also responded to some of your tweets. I like to do that after the fact. So many of you weigh in following Ask Amy Anything, and or your questions get submitted late, or you didn't get chosen. Wah, wah, wah. And so if you did post a question on our social media, go back and check it out and see if I answered the question that you put up on Twitter or Facebook. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. This hour on the show, both Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett respond to the uproar around the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think that I'm sorry I missed last night's show. I mean, I was awake. I just wasn't here hosting. But I can imagine, and the guys told me that it was a lot of angst over the Cowboys and their loss at home. We have a big station in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan, and they're the Cowboys station. And so I know that we have many Cowboys listeners on After Hours. And I was okay with – I had worked a 27-hour day, if that's even possible. I promise I'm not making it up. So I had worked two jobs back-to-back. And I don't think I could have dealt with it. But I'm raring to go now. And so we'll get some reaction from Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett about the calls for mid-season changes. I'm using my air quotations. We all know what that word means. Changes.
Oh, yes.
And so we'll get to that in a special Cowboys edition of Bite Me coming up in 15 minutes. Please don't take that literally. Why? Because a Hall of Fame quarterback has called for overhauls. A Cowboys Hall of Famer is calling for overhauls, which, when you think about the clout that Troy Aikman has, that's a big deal. And so we'll talk a little more about the Cowboys coming up in 15 minutes. It was the start of college basketball on Tuesday night. Duke and Kentucky. And the Wildcats allowing their most points in a game since 1989. But even crazier, both of Duke's incredible freshman at the top of this class, this incoming class, set freshman scoring records in their first game as a member of the Blue Devils. So buckle up. It could be that kind of crazy wild ride for the Blue Devils this year. And of course, Duke has a massive fan base. It's actually one of those teams that is very divisive. You either love them or you hate them. And if you love them, then you're so passionate about them and you never miss a game and you know everything that's going on, all the freshmen, la, la, la. If you hate them, you're probably just as familiar, but you only root for them to fail miserably. There are some teams, some college teams, some pro teams in sports that are like that. And so Duke is definitely one of those, and that will add to the drama of this college basketball season. It's pretty hard to continue on the torrid pace that they just started out on, but it was against Kentucky. So pretty impressive to see them off the jump come out with 118 points and with the freshman spearheading it. And so college basketball is underway. And then we had the latest college football playoff rankings while we're talking about college sports released on Tuesday night. So a different kind of election. But definitely it's an election, right? They vote. They're sitting in their college football playoff committee meeting rooms, and they're voting. They all come with their own ideas to the table, and then they vote. And majority rules. And so if you stop and think about your life, how often a Democratic-type system and voting comes into play, there are times even here on the show where we talk about taking a vote. Of course, I guess it's not really fair because I get the veto. I get the veto power, which I kind of like being in this position. It was a long time in my career that I was not and had no veto power. Anyway, we all use some type of a voting system here or there. And so this is what the College Football Playoff Committee does. And if you haven't seen the latest rankings, not huge surprises necessarily. Alabama's still undisputed number one. And then you had LSU drop to number 7. Now, the Tigers have by far played the toughest schedule in college football to this point. They're the only team that has 3 wins over ranked opponents. Alabama, of course, being a brutal loss at home, but they still have more wins over ranked opponents than any other in college football. But we had asked our insider before that game in Death Valley, is this an elimination game for LSU? And he said, yes. Number 7 isn't impossible. Right? So the Tigers dropped to number 7. The problem is you have less time to make up ground now, and you already know you're not going to be participating in the SEC championship. So that puts you behind the 8-ball. So we'll see how this plays out and how LSU might be able to climb. I never like to say things are impossible, but this is quite a hole. Even with everything LSU has accomplished this year, losing that game may have been the final nail. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Rob Mullins, you have to get to know his name, not Kirby Hokan anymore, but Rob Mullins. He's the University of Oregon Athletic Director, and he's the new committee chair. And now every week they do an interview on their Facebook page. Social media is everywhere. And so Rob Mullen sits down and does a one-on-one with the College Football Playoff Facebook page. Hey, you know what? Just for kicks and giggles, check out the Facebook page and tell me how many followers it has. I just want to know how many people follow and like the College Football Playoff Facebook page. Anyway, he talks about what the committee did and how they voted inside their room this week.
When you have nearly half of the teams ranked between 11 and 25 lose, you know, that there's a lot of conversation and debate because you're comparing a lot of like teams. Mm-hmm. And then some have 2 losses, some have 3 losses. So, you know, you're truly trying to find your way when you know, when 7 of those ranked teams lose and you're trying to figure out who to slot where. There was a lot of conversation.
That traffic to me, though, it's like an do I want to use a bird metaphor or an airplane metaphor? Let's go with the airplane metaphor. So when I went skydiving, I jumped out of an airplane that was at 15,000 feet. Okay. It sounds high. It is high when you're jumping out of the plane, but it's not high as in where the jets fly. Right. So think about it. Alabama, Clemson, they're flying up where the jets do, or to use the bird metaphor, they're flying where the eagles fly. Okay. So they're up there. So is Notre Dame, still undefeated. And What I've been told, now this is not from someone inside the committee room, but what I've been told is that Notre Dame is still in control of its own fate, and that if they finish undefeated, they are into that playoff. Okay, so think about the teams now, that those top three teams, they're flying up higher than where all this fray is taking place. And so it doesn't matter how much jostling is done below them, how many birds are fighting for the mice on the ground. Like, that doesn't matter. That kind of fit the analogy. That was okay. It doesn't matter what's happening below them. If those three teams take care of business, all the craziness and drama can play out below them. And what does it do? It affects who goes to different bowls and maybe who wins conference championships. Maybe we're talking about some of the non Power Five schools, but it doesn't affect then what happens up where the, now I got to do both. The Eagles and the Jets are flying.
Touchdown, Alabama.
I thought you were going to say touchdown, Jets. Because as I was saying that, I was thinking, Jets, though. Jets football right now is not something that's flying very high. But
J-E-T-S.
Right. I deserve that. Yep, I deserve that. So anyway, that's kind of the deal is that, sure, it's exciting maybe if you love all of – if you love all of college football and not just what's happening at the top, and you're not just thinking about the playoff, well then, yeah, all of that stuff is really interesting. But I've heard from a lot of college football fans, let's say they're not necessarily diehards. They're not in one of the, you know, the areas of the country where college football is a religion. Or maybe they're a fan of, you know, some of the teams that are just outside that top four. So Michigan rounding out the top four now after the big win over Penn State. The Wolverines move up into the top four. Georgia and Oklahoma are at 5 and 6. But now here's the caveat. If LSU is too far off, is too far gone, is too far out, and that's what, you know, what we've heard, well, then number 7, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but in terms of the playoff, it is. Is Washington State going to leapfrog LSU? I guess it's possible, but go from number 8 into the top 4? That's a lot of real estate. And so even as Rob Mullins is talking about the shakeup and the rankings, yeah, I mean, I gotcha. There are some teams that are moving up or moving down. UCF, by the way, stayed firm right there at number 12. That may be the ceiling for UCF, even if they go undefeated. But right now, as long as 9-0 Bama, 9-0 Clemson, 9-0 Notre Dame take care of business, and Michigan too now, I mean, if Michigan takes care of business, well, then it doesn't really matter what happens below them in the rankings. So, unless, of course, the College Football Playoff Committee wants to create some drama. So maybe some contrived interest, because it's beginning to feel like we're on a showdown with Bama and Clemson. Would you say it's gotten to the level of Golden State Cleveland in the NBA? Because I think last year, while you still have a lot of NBA fans who paid attention to the regular season and wanted to see the superstars, I mean, the NBA is a superstar-driven league for sure. There were so many people who said to me, it's a foregone conclusion. So wake me when they get to the finals. And then obviously, because the finals were so lopsided, the ratings were way down. The interest had waned. You can only see a repeat or a remake or a reboot or a revival. These are all the words that are used in TV these days, where all the old shows are being remade or brought back. You can only see that so many times before you're just like, eh, been there, done that. So is that the case in college football yet? Have we gotten to that point? Not for Bama or Clemson fans. But if that's the case, is there fatigue when it would come to this matchup? Or when it would come to these two schools? They've earned it. I do not begrudge them. It's hard work to stay on top when everybody is aiming for you. But when we're talking about marginal fans, has interest waned? Something to think about. So the latest college football playoff rankings are out. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page. Coming up next, Jerry Jones answers the question, will there be changes midseason for the Dallas Cowboys? And is Dak the quarterback of the future? I got to hand it to Jera. He does answer the questions. Now, sometimes he just lies or his answers turn out to be wrong. It's a fluid situation. But at least he answers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
I really believe that Tony Romo will play in a Super Bowl.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Stop! The center's helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The New England Patriots.
Second and 10, Brady drops back, throws it down the left side, wide open, Gordon makes the catch, slips a hit, goodbye, 20, 15, 10, touchdown Patriots.
Oh, start the buses. Woo-hoo-hoo. What a Sunday night.
The Chicago Bears.
Snap, blitz, throwing. Peterman, open man. The catch is made by the tight end, and he's hit down.
He stripped him. He stripped
the ball, and it's picked up by the Bears. Running down the left sideline. Eddie Jackson, he's going in, baby. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears.
The New Orleans Saints.
Mark Ingram splits out wide to the left. Breeze drops back, throws down the slot. Mike Thomas in stride. He's to the 30. He's to the 20. To the 10. Touchdown. Mike Thomas, 72 yards. And the Saints strike a hole in the hearts of the Rams in the fourth.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Ryan fakes the toss, flips it on the screen. Here's Julio. Jones is open. Down the far sideline and will score. Oh, my heavens.
There you go, Atlanta. Julio's in the end zone.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence, it's a day late, but not a dollar short. Well, we work in radio. We're always a dollar short. However, this is your hashtag TD of the week poll, and those are the candidates. My personal favorite, I'll already tell you, I'm voting for Julio Jones and the wild team-wide celebration for his first touchdown of the season. And it was a perfect moment for the Falcons. Wes Durham and company on the Falcons radio network. How about the Josh Gordon touchdown from Tom Brady? Patriots taking out the Packers on Sunday Night Football. That's Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak. The Saints, of course, with the fantastic bomb to Michael Thomas. And that was the dagger against the Los Angeles Rams in the Superdome on Sunday. Zach Strief on the Saints radio network. And one of the two defensive touchdowns for the Chicago Bears, Jeff Joniak on the Bears radio network. You can vote on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll give you an opportunity to weigh in, and this time tomorrow we will reveal your choice for TD of the week. Now moving on. Oh, there's so much drama in Dallas.
Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
When a Hall of Famer is calling for sweeping changes, when a Hall of Famer is saying it's time for an overhaul of your franchise, you know a lot more people are going to listen. Though Troy Aikman may simply be echoing what many Dallas Cowboys fans from the outside looking in believe should be the next step. Now that Dallas has fallen to 3-5, losing at home to Tennessee, Monday Night Football. Even though the Cowboys aren't out of the NFC East race, they're only two games back. Man, they have dug themselves quite a hole, and there is a whole lot of finger pointing to go along with it.
I talk to people who have been inside the building and have a pretty good understanding of how things are run. And in a lot of ways, there's a lot of dysfunction. And that has to change if this team is going to be able to compete on a consistent basis like the teams that you look to around the league that seemingly are in the hunt each and every year.
Troy Aikman speaking about the dysfunction inside the Cowboys organization from people he says are inside, which, by the way, he and Jason Garrett are really good friends from their time as Cowboys quarterbacks. But Aikman on 96.7 The Ticket, and he believes He said this multiple times that the dysfunction starts at the top with the owner slash general manager, Jerry Jones. He's unconventional in the way he runs his team. He likes to be involved. He likes to be not just the face, but the mouthpiece. And in doing so, he does his weekly interview on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan. And he was asked about making changes. Are you going to make changes to this team that's fallen to 3-5?
I'm making changes, and I've made changes this past week. And so things are constantly changing. You've heard me say this is like holding two handfuls full of Jell-O. The minute you get it going on one side, it slips out the other. Now, the team, I think that I think I'm right on this, that we played last night, had lost four games in a row, and we expected to beat that team. But in the NFL, when you line up, and they pay their guys, too, over on the other side of the ball, when you line up, you've got a chance to get beat. We need to play better. I'm certainly concerned about our record as it gives us a chance to be in the playoffs, but I'm more concerned about how we played and how we can play better.
Everything after trying to hold handfuls of Jell-O was kind of lost on me. I was envisioning myself attempting, like I'm a two-year-old, attempting to hold and squeeze handfuls of Jell-O. Ew. I actually went... But thank you, Jerry Jones. I'm sure it was really important what you were saying. He says, I make changes all the time. I'm constantly making changes, though not going to make an in-season coaching change. Jerry Jones also answering questions about his quarterback, Dak Prescott. And remember when he said Brandon Weeden had the strongest arm in the NFL or something along those lines?
I think Dak is capable. Very capable. Let me say this just right for you. He is completely capable. I didn't know that 2 years ago, but he is capable of looking at what the situation was last night, looking at a throw like he made in the back of the end zone for the interception. You don't have anybody that's more capable to look at that and take it to the practice field and take it to learn from that for the next ball game.
Is he your quarterback for the next 10 years?
Listen, Dak is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He's young, and he's going to get extended.
Okay. He's young. He's going to get extended. He's not through his rookie contract yet. There's still some time to evaluate. But according to Jerry, who writes the checks, he's already made that decision. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Finally, Jason Garrett. Hot seat. But... his owner says he's protected from any type of in-season changes. Doesn't mean that he won't have to answer questions about his job status.
I'm just focused on getting our team to play as well as we can play, and we'll learn from that experience last night and get our eyes forward on Philly. We just got to keep banging away. Again, there were some good things in the game last night, certainly not good enough, and the biggest thing we got to do is we got to learn from it quickly and get back to work tomorrow morning because we're getting ready for that Philadelphia game. It's going to be here before you know it. So we got to get locked in on that, learn from the experience, and keep moving forward.
Both Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones on our Dallas affiliate 105.3 The Fan on Tuesday in the wake of what was a really disappointing loss to the Titans at home on Monday Night Football. So you got some answers, but maybe not the answers you were looking for. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and I have been waiting all morning to talk to Andrew Bogish. Guess what? No, seriously, guess what?
What?
Okay. You posted on Facebook something about voting stickers. Would you like to share with people?
I've never gotten a sticker. When I lived in Queens in New York City and now in Long Island, I've never gotten a sticker. I've gotten baked goods. I've never gotten
I want
a sticker.
Some baked goods. That sounds great. I also do not get stickers. But as luck would have it, as fate would have it, it was bringing us together on Tuesday, election night. I was driving into work, and our studios are located in New York City. So I was listening to national news as well as local news. And I kid you not, the woman on the radio, listening to our CBS News affiliate here in New York, talked about how on Long Island they've gotten rid of all the stickers because they cost too much money. So after I saw your post on Facebook, because we're friends, kind of. I mean, like, Facebook is real, you know. After I saw your post, I'm driving and I hear the woman read a story about how there are no stickers on Long Island because they cost $20,000 or something. So I just wanted to make sure you knew the answer to the question.
I appreciate the frugality of Nassau and Suffolk counties on Long Island, but I want a sticker. Okay. I want a sticker.
I mean,
I'm a simple man. I want a sticker.
Are you so pleased, though, that I have an answer for your question?
Yes, I'm glad that it's a Long Island-wide drought, and there's a reason for it, not just that, you know, my little
you
area is cheap. I want to move. I could move.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better. Oh, that's true. You want to move somewhere that has no seasons and no weather problems.
Yeah, preferably under a dome. If there's a place like that exists.
What?
Like, where
they only do that in the movies.
Exactly. Please. It's 2018 already. Get me some kind of domed habitat that I'm always safe in.
You know, if you were a Jedi, you could put yourself under a protective shield. They have that ability. Maybe you could start training now.
What do you think comes first, me becoming a Jedi or domed cities?
I say you getting a voting sticker comes first.
Okay,
before those
fair.
Other two options.
Okay.
Well, good morning to you.
Good morning to you
as
well.
If you went to bed before the races were called, I have the election coverage up in studio.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Oh, okay. I'm a junkie. But at equal parts horrifies and fascinates me, election coverage.
Yeah, it was tough to go to sleep last night, and all I wanted to do was go to sleep. But every time they like a little bell went off, and we can call this. I'm like, oh, what's
and
happening?
And then you remember.
I don't know this person.
I don't have a sticker.
What corner of a state they come from. Okay. But congrats.
Yay. All right, we made it. We survived election day and election night. And Andrew Bogish lives to get a sticker another day.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, I want something just like that. A shot from the far corner by Johnson, turned wide by Crawford, 7 seconds left, 6, now 5, in behind the net, Tay swings it around, oh, and all the way down the ice it goes! For the third time in 6 seasons, it's one goal achieved! The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup! The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup! The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup! The Chicago Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup! Lord Stanley, the Blackhawks organization, along with the greatest fans in all of hockey, welcome you back to your new home, Chicago, Illinois, in the USMA!
This is After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Wasn't that long ago that the Chicago Blackhawks were, in fact, the possessors of Lord Stanley's Cup? 2015, and it was the third that the Blackhawks won in the span of, 8 years? Well, not even 8 years. We're talking about 6-year period. And at that point, you had a coach who had been on the job since 2008. So 8 years there for him. He wins 3 cups in the span of 8 years. And yet Joel Quenneville out, ousted, booted. This is shocking to me. I know that nothing lasts forever and there's no such thing as irreplaceable in sports. But as you hear with John Weidman on the Chicago Blackhawks radio network, they were most recently experiencing the highest of highs. I can remember, I was there actually for one of the games during the Stanley Cup final in 2015. I went to Chicago. I wanted to feel it in person at the United Center. And it was phenomenal. I think it was the game right before they clinched the cup. And now, after a pair of first round exits and 1 year of not making the postseason at all, so they have not won a playoff series since that last cup, they're making a coaching change. With a team that has a record of 6-6-3, but also is near the bottom of the NHL when it comes to special teams, so power play and penalty kill. They're lagging behind their opponents when it comes to goals and goals against. And it's all about what have you done for me lately. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to your calls here in a second. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So it was a tough stretch for sure, and it was also a bad start to the season. And here's the other thing that stands out. It was always a tenuous relationship between general manager Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville, both strong personalities with ideas about how they wanted to do things. And sometimes that works great. In fact, when you're winning, It smooths over those bumps in the road, those conflicts, those maybe small fractures in your relationship. And very often, that friction can produce better decisions. Iron sharpens iron, right? So if you've got two really strong personalities, they may clash at times, but getting different opinions, looking at problems, at situations from two different angles, often strengthens the core. And so when you're winning, it's okay. When you're not winning, then all of a sudden, that relationship becomes untenable. I mean, that's how it is in sports. I mean, it's a microcosm of real life, too. When things are going well, we're often willing to overlook some of the relationship issues. You know, some of the things we maybe don't agree on, we don't see eye to eye on. And so it just became easier now to move on. But how about this dichotomy? How about the two opposite ends of the spectrum? Here's Joel Quenneville, who is the second most successful coach in NHL history, just shy of what he's got. Let's see. 797 games as a head coach with the Blackhawks. And a guy who's won just shy of 900 games overall in his career. So he's the longest tenured head coach in hockey. And the Blackhawks go from him to the youngest head coach in the league. His name is Jeremy Colliton, and you'll have to get to know him.
First of all, I want to express my appreciation to Rocky, John, and Stan for the opportunity. First of all, to bring me from Sweden to the organization, and then now for this chance, and I'm grateful for that. It's an honor to join the Blackhawks, Original Six franchise, fantastic city, tradition of success, and we're going to do everything we can to build on that. I need to say thank you to Joel also. He was a big part of why I wanted to come to the organization in the first place, and he was great to me, treated me so well, and for that reason, it's bittersweet to be succeeding him. I addressed the team this morning and want to keep most of it in-house, but I told him very excited to be working with him.
Jeremy, coach, is 33. There are 15 players on the Blackhawks roster that are under the age of 30. And so there you have what the organization is hoping will be more of a connection. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Really quick before I get to our couple phone calls here, Jonathan Toews, one of my favorite leaders in sports. I mean, this guy has every quality, and he and Patrick Kane are essentially lifers with his team. They're legacy players with the Blackhawks. And so they obviously, you know, are bearing some of the responsibility, but you can't change that. You can really only change the coach. And so Toews and Kane were both speaking about it yesterday.
As I said before, you take responsibility for it. You always wonder. You're always looking for solutions when things aren't going the way you want them to, the way they are right now. And unfortunately, if that's a decision that's been made, then, like I said, you have to move on. But you always kind of wish that you could have done something else with the group that you have, and that includes the coaching staff as well.
Patrick Kane even said, if I hadn't gotten sick on our last road trip, and maybe I'd played better, and then he wouldn't have gotten fired. So, yeah, I mean, Quenneville is probably going to get a job really soon. It's not like the guy's forgotten a coach, but he is a victim of all of their success too, because that winning, all of that winning breeds epic expectations. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Ramil is listening in Georgia. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy.
Hey.
I had I got a college football playoff scenario that I want your opinion on. And I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan, by the way, but if all the top four teams win out and Georgia finds a miraculous way to beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, who do you think will make the playoff? Would it be Alabama or Michigan with them both having a loss? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Wait, but if they all win out, then Alabama would have won the SEC championship.
No, I'm saying if all of them went out except Alabama getting
beat
in the SEC championship by Georgia, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, I mean, it's hard to speculate, but if you're talking about in a vacuum – and all things are being equal, I mean, certainly Alabama just boosted its resume with the victory over LSU. But, you know, a lot of the talk has been about the fact that their strength of schedule is not as good, for instance, as LSU. I'd have to go back and look at Georgia's schedule. But you would think if all other things were equal, which, again, I don't know that they are, Georgia would have to make quite a leap, and that would be quite a fall for Alabama. You know, you would think that Georgia would have earned that right, but I don't know if that knocks Alabama out. I mean, it just depends on what else happens between now and then. So that's the kind of, you know, you don't just take those four, those five teams. What about what Oklahoma might do, or, you know, some of the other teams that are in that equation? So it's hard to say.
A scenario where everybody else wins, and like Alabama and Georgia beats Alabama, so you have Alabama with one loss.
No, I got Georgia, you, but I don't have those schedules for all of those teams memorized, right? So I don't. Okay. It changes strength of schedule. Things, you know, it changes every week who they play, then changes their strength of schedule and impacts that. So I don't know. Notre Dame has a weaker strength of schedule, but if they win out, they're going to be in Clemson and Michigan too, probably. So if you're talking about simply swapping one team for another, it sounds really simple, but it also depends on how the other teams do and whether or not they've boosted their strength of schedule enough to, you know, to knock Alabama from number one. That's kind of precipitous fall, you know?
Yeah, I just figured with Georgia beating them that late and beating them in the SEC, I figured Georgia would jump into the top four and it would really be between Alabama and Michigan.
Yeah, right. So that's the easy, simple scenario, but it's not that easy is what I'm saying. You know, like people don't want to hear that, but it's not that easy. If Alabama takes care of business all the way through and loses to the number five team at a neutral site, if Georgia remains where it is, it's not that simple. So my point is that it sounds like it would be cut and dried and easy, but I don't think it is.
Yeah, appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thanks, Ramil. John is in Vegas. John, we only have like 45 seconds, so you have to go quick.
All right, I'll be very quick. First, I love the show, Amy. Fantastic. I listen to you every day. But the big thing on the Pats is I don't think they can win a championship this year. I love the Pats. I think they're rolling at 7-2. But Brady looks a little old. The defense looks suspect. And just real quick, my other point was, the other day, you got a call, a guy talking about Mike Sarge Riley in Boston, a radio host. I wanted to just confirm with you, he is really terrible on the radio.
Oh, stop. Stop it, John. I can't believe you're wasting your time. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. If you want to criticize, then call his radio station and criticize him. Don't call me and make my show a platform for that. I don't know the guy. I don't know anything about him. And you shouldn't be, I mean, can we have some class, please? I apologize to, what was his name? Mike. I'm sorry, that shouldn't be happening on my show. If I had known that, it wouldn't have happened. 855-212-4227. That's our number when you have class. You can also find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'd love to get your reaction to my halfway point check of the NFL season. So it's pinned to the top of both Twitter and Facebook, and I appreciate the conversation. I hope that you navigate your hump day, that it's easy, that it's smooth, that you don't fall flat on your face, and that your dog's not sick, because that's what I'm dealing with right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.